Good morning. It is Sunday, January the 6th, and this is Ask the Mayor. I'm Chris Duffy, joined as always by Mayor Patrick Taylor. And Mayor Taylor, we've had quite a bit of, well, a mixed bag of weather lately, and that has provided a mixed bag of debris across the plateau. Some places we've seen some tidying up. Some places we still see branches that are in precarious positions. What's the progress on our multiple storm cleanup?
That's a good question, Chris. And I talked with our Public Works Director, Lamar Nix, about this problem this week. And here is just the truth about this. It's going to take us some time to clean up from that storm damage. You know, we have a trim crew that, you know, does the trimming of branches around our power lines. And then we have a small road crew of about seven folks. And we have massive areas where branches, rotos have fallen over and so forth. And they're working every day on a particular road or area to try to remove all of the limbs, the fallen rotos, and so forth. So it's going to take some time, maybe even over a month, before we're able to get to all the town roads and the areas where we, you know, have our garbage trucks and emergency vehicles accessing our residents. So I understand it's unsightly, but we are trying to do the work as fast as we can. Lamar was telling me that we had some damage to our vehicles because of so many rotos falling over and tree limbs. We've lost some side mirrors, a couple of windshields, a bunch of antennae on the top of the trucks have been knocked off. So they're very aware of the problem, and they're trying to clear the roads as much as possible. There's one thing that I think people will be disturbed about, and I noticed it when I was out doing road running just the other day, and that is that some of the rotos that are very close to the road, they have been pushed over, fallen over, and during the, you know, immediate, you know, aftermath of the storm, we had to get in and plow those roads, and we have a big road grader and so forth, and a lot of times we just had to go over the branches and remove them too. We couldn't sit there and carefully, you know, cut them back, because we were really in an emergency situation where we had to open up the roads for, you know, service vehicles, emergency vehicles and so forth. So some of the rotos and some of the things, the trees are hanging, look really rough near the roads. And I was having this discussion with Lamar Nix that, you know, we love those rotos to grow right close to the road and over the road. But when you have these major storm events where they're bent over and pushed over, a case can be made for emergency access or hanging that we just have to cut them back. And some of them that have been really damaged, we're just going to have to cut them back, and, you know, over time they'll, you know, grow back and everything. But this is just a natural, you know, storm that happened, and in some areas it looks really rough. For example, that beautiful roto covering tunnel sidewalk area that we have going out to the biological station in Sunset Rock, I was running over in that area just this past Thursday, and there's been some real damage to that. Some of the rotos have just been, you know, pushed all the way over by the ice and snow. And then many of the limbs of the roto bushes, they're just split wide open. And when that happens, you just have to cut them back. So, you know, it's going to take time, but we will get the roads and the roadsides, you know, back up to shape as soon as possible. What kind of worries me, and I was discussing that with our town manager in Mr. Nix, is that we can make a big effort to do this, but we're not even through winter. We're about halfway. So let's keep our fingers crossed we don't have another bad storm where we incur even more damage than we have right now.
Well, speaking of storm damage, on our last show, we didn't really talk about this, but just before that, on Friday, the last Friday of the year, you had called me rather urgently because you had just been informed that there was going to be a power outage affecting, we thought it originally, all of the town. As it turned out, it was a portion of the town. And we had thought it was an issue with a transmission station from Duke Power, but you've got some clarity now on exactly what the issue was.
That's right, Chris. And you know, I try to get the best information I can, but sometimes it's not really complete. But at that point in time, I got a quick notice that we're going to lose power because Duke had to make a repair to the transmission station. I put out a coat red working through our fire chief that went out to the people in the community. And then we put it on the radio, and you responded quickly. I actually went downtown in the rain and went to as many businesses as possible to let them know that in an hour and a half period that they would lose power for about 30 minutes because Duke had to make this repair. It turned out that I believe only half the town, a certain portion to the south, actually lost any power. The rest did not have a power outage. And after talking again to Lamar Nix, who is a town engineer and in charge of our electric department, he described to me exactly what the problem was. During that major snowstorm, one of the main transmission lines that Duke had coming into the town actually was removed from the insulator that keeps it from arcing out, and it fell on an arm of a power pole that was made out of wood. Lamar said that one of our crew members who's just checking and riding around noticed that it was there and it was a problem, and they were all scratching their heads. How in the world had that main high voltage line remained intact? Because normally when it hits a piece of wood with high voltage, it starts arcing out at such a intense heat that it'll just burn right through the wood and then fall on the ground and break, and the power goes out. So they had reported it to Duke. Duke finally came out, and their crews looked and said, yes, this is a serious problem. And for the safety of their crews, they had to turn that transmission line off and then go up, reattach it to the insulator so it wouldn't arc out. So that was the problem. I tried to inform people as quickly as possible with the information that I had at the time. I'm glad that it didn't happen during the winter storm where we were struggling to keep the power on, because if we ever lose a main line like that coming from Duke, it doesn't matter what we do. We have to rely on them to put a major line back on service, and that can be pretty complicated.
Right. Before we get off the subject of all the storm aftermath, you'd mentioned the town's debris cleanup efforts, but of course there are lots of folks who are cleaning up debris on their private property, and some folks are asking why we don't have like a debris center set up as we did after the hurricanes of 2017.
You know, Chris, I've got a couple of people asking me the same thing. And my response is that that's not a town decision and responsibility. In the hurricane, there was massive debris fields throughout Macon County. And DOT, working with the county emergency response office, decided to create the emergency debris center down below the main parking lot at the rec park.
And that was tied in with FEMA as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And it cost a lot of money because then they had to bring in a tub grinder, which is a massive chipping machine. And then they spent, you know, like a week grinding up all the debris. And then they had to bring in a contractor to truck it away and deposit it in another area. So that's a pretty expensive process. And in this particular situation, it was deemed not severe enough to warrant that. And the town simply can't afford to create a center and do that kind of an operation. And I will say this, if we did do that, there'd be people bringing in debris from all over. and the
3-year-old
taxpayers
debris
of Highlands would be covering that cost. Yeah. So that was why we weren't able to do that in this case. It has to be a very severe weather event before those kind of protocols come into play.
Well, here we are just the first week of January, but I know you have your board meeting on the horizon. But before that, I understand you want to get the Land Use Committee back together to talk about the whole Main Street beautification, treeification project, which got a little bit derailed at the last town board
meeting. That's right. We postponed any decision because there were some, you know, concerns and some controversy about, you know, the process. So, we might be rebooting that by having the Land Use Committee meet again with representatives from the chamber and people in the community that want to, you know, hear the discussion about, you know, what the committee decides. And we are in the process of coordinating that, getting all the folks that can attend, the board members on that committee, representatives from the chamber and everything together and having that meeting. We'll get the word out to the chamber. They can put it on the internet, and we'll put out an announcement of when that will be held. It will be sometimes, you know, before the next board meeting, because I would like for the board to review the recommendation of the committee and then make a final decision. I use the term recommendation because I think there's some misunderstanding about the committee structure. We use committees of commissioners, the rec committee, the different types of committees to address issues and study issues. They make recommendations to the board. The planning board, for example, they do the same. They're kind of a think tank. They study an issue. Then they make recommendations to the board. There are times when the board will vote and accept that recommendation. But a recommendation does not mean that they're bound to follow that recommendation.
Right.
Sometimes things are modified, added. You know, we add things to it, as was the case of commissioner wanted to add more trees at the last board meeting. And instead of moving forward, we decided to kind of drop back and reset. But it's a committee is not the final word. It's really the town board that has to take the vote and make the decision. And ultimately, the board members have, you know, the responsibility, the decision-making responsibility, and they are held accountable to the public and to the voters, as well as the mayor, on decisions that we make.
And Mr. Mayor, last but not least, also on your agenda for the very near future, a bear conference. And this is not some naturist event. This is no about ursine management, about our four-legged furry friends.
That's right. At the first of next month, I'll be going with Cynthia Strain, who is the chairwoman for the Bear Task Force, and other people in Highlands, going to Asheville to a conference sponsored by North Carolina Wildlife Commission on how to better manage our bear population. I've already been doing some reading in preparation for the conference, and I've learned that we have 20,000 bears in North Carolina. That's the estimate. So it's a real challenge, and I look forward to going with Cynthia and the Bear Task Force folks to this conference to learn more about, you know, how we can better manage the bear population in Highlands. We want to become a bear-wise community. With that said, we have been looking at, for example, buying street cans that will be bear resistance for the downtown area. Our first investigation revealed that these are not cheap appliances to buy. And right now we're in kind of a dormant period for the bear population with winter. So we've decided to kind of step back a little bit, do some more research, and make a wise decision about what's the best type of trash can, street can, to purchase for, you know, making them bear resistant, so we can solve that problem of the bears just walking down Main Street and turning over the cans. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm still very concerned, and I think we need to research this, about how we can maybe find a better solution to storing our food waste from restaurants and other businesses, instead of using just a big dumpster, shared dumpster, looking at some other alternatives, because I'm getting feedback, especially from our sanitation workers, that bears have learned to breach those dumpsters no matter what we try to do. If they want to get in and get the food, they can do it. So we need to look at that. And then down the road, we also need to look at better practices for handling our residential trash too. And that would require all of us to be involved in using better practices in deterring the bears from raiding our garbage cans at our house, in our businesses, and then also on public property.
We look forward to hearing the results of that conference. And on that note, we will end this episode of Ask the Mayor. I thank Mayor Taylor for joining us this morning, and we both wish you a pleasant Sunday.